This is Heidi from Jacksonville, Florida. You are listening to WBFY LP 100.9, Belfast, Maine.
It's 6 o'clock on Monday. That means it's time for the Belfast Lions High School Sports Show. Here's your host, Coach Brian Goff.
Coach Duval, head baseball coach for your Belfast Lions. Coach, when did you develop a passion and love for the game of baseball? At what age and what experience, you know, led you to that love and passion?
Baseball was my first love as a boy. My dad took me to Memorial Stadium to go watch the Orioles play when I was a little boy, and that was it. I was hooked. Sad to say that one of my favorite players growing up was Bucky Dent, who I know is not every Red Sox fan's favorite player, but I identified with the little shortstop that could. So pretty much as long as I can remember, I've been a baseball fan. I knew in 10th grade, actually, I played baseball at Episcopal High School in Alexandria for Jeff McSwain, and he was also my social studies teacher. And in 10th grade, I knew I wanted to coach baseball and teach social studies. And it sounds cliche-ish, but I'm literally living my dream. I teach seventh grade social studies and I coach high school baseball. So
that must be a good thing for you, Coach, to be down at that junior high level. Here you are meeting these baseball players who are going to be future starters for you at the high school. Kind of gives you a head start with these players. Lets you get to know them on a personal level. And then once they get comfortable with you and you get comfortable with them, here they come 2 years later, you know, that relationship is already established. Now you can just hit the diamond and start playing baseball. Does that sound about right, Coach?
Absolutely. I have nine seniors on this year's club, and I think I had six of them in homeroom as sixth graders. So I watched them. I said it to the boys the other day. I've watched you grow from little boys to men. And I mean, take away the baseball part. I'm proud of the men they've become. And so just to watch these boys grow up and to be a part of their lives and just to see them. I mean, you know, some of my boys have become just really, really good human beings. And I'm proud of them, as proud of them for being the men they are as being the baseball players they are. But I think you hit the nail on the head with what you said about watching them grow up and watching them having that relationship. I think relationships are the only reason I'm in this business, you know. It's not for the money. So it's about building relationships and watching kids achieve goals and become, like I said, better men. So
absolutely, Coach. You couldn't have said it any better. I share the same sentiments and some of the things that I hold true to myself and what I'm about, right? When I coach the great game of football. So in terms of your coaching career, take us through your first job all the way down, you know, through your stops and whatnot to becoming the head baseball coach for the Belfast Lions.
Sure thing. So my first actual head coaching gig was I was the head coach of my high school and the JV team. I left Hampton, Sydney after 3 years and was transferring to Ohio State and had some time off. And I applied and got the JV job, and I grew to love it. Then I worked at St. Stephen's, St. Agnes, which is actually where I went to primary school, grade school, up through ninth grade. And I coached there for 5 years with my middle school coach. We had a lot of success, really good club. Actually coached a kid who pitched in major leagues in the bigs for the Phillies. Then I had a stop couple years at collegiate school for boys in New York City. Head JV coach, assistant varsity coach, and got to see a state championship team, some really talented kids. And then I moved to Maine and got this job at Troy Howard Middle School and reached out to George Ross, and he hired me as a JV coach. Did that for 1 year, and he asked me if I was interested in being his assistant, and he told me I'd get paid a lot less, which was true. And I told him I was happy to do it, and did that for, I want to say, 13 years before he retired. And I mean, what a pleasure to work with Coach Ross. Guy's forgotten more about baseball than I know. And so I did that for a long time and ended up over the course of time becoming a third base coach and coaching the infielders. And now it's been pretty awesome this year to have him back on my staff as the pitching coach. And just to get the knowledge out of his head, because the guy, like I said, has forgotten more about baseball than I know. And I feel like I'm a pretty knowledgeable guy, but I owe a ton to Coach Ross and his hiring me, I think 15 years ago as the JV coach has been, I mean, what an amazing experience for me. And now I'm the head coach and just trying to make him proud as well as the community. So.
No doubt, Coach, you struck a couple of chords with me. First one with your reference to Hampton, Sydney. I did my college years down in the state of North Carolina, started a junior college called Chowan College. It's in the northeastern tip of North Carolina, went 4 years.
Heck yeah.
I was there with that transition period and then finished my season down, my playing career down at Methodist College down in Fayetteville. And there we were on Hampton Sydney's grounds back in the year 1995. Brian Goff was playing a football game down there. And I vividly remember how beautiful that campus was down there at Hampton Sydney.
I think you might have played my brother, actually. He might have been on that team.
No doubt. Yeah. I've had some funny
small world
cool connections like that with this with the game of football and sports in general. So this it really doesn't surprise me.
Heck yeah.
Second court, Coach Ross was my coach at Belfast Area High School.
Yeah.
I was a graduate 30 years ago now in 1990. 31 years ago, Coach Ross was my coach for 4 years. I had some good ability coming up. I was good athletically, didn't know a lot about the game. He taught me a lot about the game. And I think my senior year, I started every position but first base and catcher form. And you don't do that unless you have a great baseball coach. That's for darn sure.
That's right. That's right.
So here you are coming into year three, very similar to my coaching career here. 2019 was my first year as head football coach. We had our first winning season in quite some time. We're feeling good about ourselves. We're into our off season. We've got some weight training going on. We're always thinking about next season. I'm sure you can attest to that as well.
Heck yeah.
Next thing you know, here comes COVID. COVID sends us home. Here you are going into year two. I know you were going to have a darn good baseball team last year. How did you deal with the news, Coach, that year two of your head coaching career, your season's now being taken away from you and your seniors? I know how it made me feel. I just wanted to hear in your words how you dealt with it and how you moved forward and how you put closure to it.
It's a great question. For those boys, the seniors from last year, you had a couple of them on your football team, and it's heartbreaking for those boys. I was actually looking for a video that I'd sent them a couple of years back. I was looking through some messages I'd sent them, and just thinking about these boys never getting a chance to put on their Belfast shirt. I didn't grow up here, and I know that if I had that chance taken away from me, it would have been heartbreaking. So it hit you below the belt, I guess is the best way of saying it. It took the air out of you. And like I said, I'm a baseball coach, but I'm also, I'm trying to mold, I'm same with you. I'm trying to mold men, trying to grow boys into men, and to see this thing that they love, that they've worked their lives for this one, 16 games for us, and to have it taken away, it was heartbreaking for my three seniors. And so for those guys, I just tried to, I'm sure you're in the same boat. I just tried to be there for them in any way I could. One of the boys that I had, Dakota Payson, I felt gutted for him because he'd had kind of a rough run of his year, his senior year, and he's looking forward to baseball, and he's just a heck of a baseball player. And just to have it stripped from him, and Brandon Knoyer and Dylan Abbott, to have it taken away from him is, personally for them, I was gutted. It hurt me, but I knew I'd have another chance to coach baseball in Belfast, and that was the last time they'd have a chance to put on that uniform. And, playing for the team, you started looking at Belfast baseball players when you're 4 or 5 years old at the YMCA in Waldo County, and that's what you want to be. And then to have your team, the last chance, and then you said we had a pretty good club last year. I would have liked my chances against anybody in the state with what I had on my field last year. And just for those guys to never have that closure, to never know, they're going to live with doubt, and I hate that for them. So I just, as a coach, I just tried to be here whenever I could. And it was so strange because you couldn't go and couldn't chat with them. So I Zoomed with them 4 times and had Zoom meetings, and we just enjoyed each other's company and tried to make the best of whatever we could. It was gut wrenching, I guess is the best way of putting it. Just a terrible, terrible situation. So glad to be on the field, even if I have to wear a mask. There's something to be said about being on a field, whether it's football, basketball. I guess that's a court. It's probably why I didn't play basketball much, but just being on the field with your teammates, there's something that you can't really replace, can't find anywhere else. So,
no doubt, Coach. And I'm helping out with the track team this year. I'm volunteering my time as an assistant track coach. So I finished up practice the other day on Friday. I got up to the baseball field as quickly as I could. I wanted to catch some of the action. It was just, two things stood out to me right away. Number one, how great it was to see your baseball team out there playing the sport that they all love to play, and the coaches coach of the sport they love to coach. And then you look up at that hill over by the concession stand. Coach, I don't know that I've ever seen as many fans at a preseason baseball game, let alone a regular season baseball game at Belfast Area High School, quite some time. Your thoughts on the Belfast faithful that showed up last Friday?
It was amazing. I felt the same way. I turned around and I, Coach Ross George is in the dugout, and I said, "Have we ever had this many fans?" Much, and you said it, not just at a preseason game. We've had playoff games with fewer fans. So support that we're getting from our community is just amazing. But I started thinking about this the other day. Where else would you rather be than sitting on a hill watching baseball in beautiful weather? And the fact that, there were there must have been 200 people in that place. And that doesn't sound like a big number, but when you're used to playing in front of 25, 30, to then get 200, 250, it was pretty awesome. And then to turn around Saturday morning and have the same number of people was amazing. And so hopefully we can keep getting that support and keep putting a product on the field that's worth coming to see. So
no doubt, Coach. Some of my observations from the game, you hit on it earlier. There was Coach Ross. Sounds like he's your pitching coach this year. Must be nice to have him in the dugout with you. I also thought I saw Scott Knoyer and Elmer Deans there in the dugout as well. Talk about their roles with the 2021 Belfast Lions baseball team this year, Coach.
So Elmer's been hired as the JV coach, and I've known him for a few years, played some basketball in the Y with him, but don't really know him as well as I do some other, you know, the other guys on my staff. But he has fit in. I mean, he's been a perfect fit. He's been awesome. He knows the game. He loves the kids, and the kids respect and love him, and they want to work hard for him. Scott has a pretty good working relationship with a lot of these boys, having run Legion teams in the last two seasons. Scott and Elmer are going to be the JV staff. Scott will bounce around to wherever we need him. And then there's also Kevin Coombs, who actually was getting his COVID shot on Friday, so he was a little late to the game. But Kevin played at Belfast High School, and then, you know, he and I have coached a lot of sports together and been on Coach Ross's staff for a long time. So I might be the luckiest guy in Belfast coach anyway. I have, you know, five coaches on my staff, and they all want to come and work, and they just want to help kids be better at baseball. There's also Penson Bartlett, who's got a son on my team, but he's been really involved with running or helping out with Legion, and he's happy to show up at practice and work whatever skills need to get worked on. Having these guys around lets me focus on what I'm an infield coach, and I fancy myself a pretty good infield coach, but I don't always have time to focus on the outfielders, or I'll shortchange them. And I've got Scott and Kevin. I just say, hey guys, take them. And Elmer is, he's just been amazing. He's a sponge. He just wants to know, show me what to do. Show me what do you think here? What do you think there? And he asks questions, and he's been amazing just in terms of trying to learn and pick up knowledge. I think he's fit hand in glove. Sorry for the pun, but it is a baseball show. So, and then again, George, he again has forgotten more about pitching than I know about pitching. And he's allowed me to just hand off pitchers and catchers and say, go throw a bullpen, listen to him. He knows what he's talking about, and let me work with infielders and work on hitting and work. So it's been really great so far. So.
Absolutely, Coach. Sounds like you got a great staff and a strong team, and I can't wait to watch you guys play when we do it for real. That's for darn sure. Real quickly, last COVID question. How has COVID changed any rules or how game day functions operate in the year 2021? We're not out of the woods yet. Things are looking positive, but we still got to get through some of these COVID protocols. What have they put in place with the baseball games, Coach?
So all the players are in masks. My center fielder wants to know what happens if he pulls his mask down and he's in center field. And I said on Friday, I don't know. We'll find out, I guess, huh? So the masks are one thing. And then the biggest change really is that the home plate umpire is no longer behind home plate. He's out behind the pitcher's mound. And, you know, we've had two games, two umpires, and both have said, we're doing our best. The strike zone is going to be what it is. And again, Tanner Vayu, captain, catcher, he said, again, Searsport, we're out there at our meeting. And Tanner said, it's much better than last year's strike zone, you know, implying that we didn't have a season. So that's been a big change, is getting used to an umpire out behind the pitcher. But those are the two biggest differences I can tell. Other than that, baseball is baseball. You know, I guess it's probably tough fielding a ground ball or hitting a ground ball, you know, hitting guys throwing 85 at you and you got a mask on. But other than that, it's baseball's baseball. So, and everybody's in the same boat. So we're going to adjust, and umpire's going to call. They're going to make their call wherever they are. So
No doubt, Coach. It just sounds like to me with that umpire being where he is, you know, a shot up the middle. Now you got a second baseman and a shortstop that's got to account for another human being. But as Taylor said, and as you said, you know, I'll play baseball with an umpire standing where he is instead of not having any baseball at all.
That's right. The other, I guess I didn't even really, I mean, the other big one is the other day in the game against MDI, Tanner actually hit a ball down the line. And there's just no way the umpire can see it because you know, we might lose a ball here, fair or foul, down that third baseline because he's stuck behind the second, you know, right between second base and the mound. So that could cost somebody some time, but that's the biggest challenge, I think. The first base umpire is not moving. So he's got that line pretty good, but a ball down the line, we might need to go to chalk instead of spray paint so you can see the chalk hit or not. So
no doubt.
We had a big change.
Let's get into these first two exhibition games. One was on Friday against crosstown rival Searsport. Saturday's game featured a game against the Trojans from Mount Desert Island. Any coach I've ever talked to about early in the season about baseball, they always talk about the arms. They always talk about the pitching rotation. I'm looking down at a stat sheet, Coach, and you're averaging over 15 runs a game in your first two games. I want to talk about your bats to start with, above the pitchers and the arms. Tell me about your bats these first couple of games.
So we got we haven't had a lot of home runs in the last 5, 6, 7 years, and we got two in two games. One from a really, really, really unlikely source. My second baseman, senior Eamon Gazinski, he hit a line drive over the fence, and I think the most surprised kid in the park was actually Eamon Gazinski. And then the next day against MDI, Chris Kelly lost one too. The thing that's really impressed me is their aggression at the plate. They struck out once looking as a team, and I think we have three strikeouts in two games. So I've been preaching contact, 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 putting the ball in play. And they've certainly done that. I think we've had 16 hits in one game and 18 hits in the other game. So just swinging the bat early on in the season, generally pitchers are ahead of hitters. But my guys, I think we've benefited from the fact that most of my guys played summer ball, not just last year, but the season before. And these kids have – my boys have played a lot of baseball. And they've done a lot of work and put in a lot of work on their swings. And they've – It showed. They were aggressive. They hit the ball where it was pitched. A lot of kids went oppo, hit the ball opposite field. They weren't real pull happy, which makes me happy. But they seem to, you know, we preach hunting fastballs, and they seem to find fastballs they wanted to drive, and they drove the ball real well. If that carries through the regular season, who knows where we end up, but the way we hunted fastballs, I was really pleased with, and the way we hit pitches that we hit mistakes, kids made mistakes and we didn't get cheated. You know, kids took pretty healthy hacks and we hit the ball hard. So, as a coach, that's what you're asking for. So
no doubt. Looking at some more of the stat sheet, Matt LeBlanc has three quality hits for you. You get three RBI out of Zephyr Lepinen. Elias Howard and Chris Kelly each contributed two RBIs themselves. On top of Amy Kaczynski's home run, he pitches three innings and gets six strikeouts for you. And then Zephyrin and Chase Sanders combined for an additional three innings pitch with another six Ks. So, you know, the game was called short during the mercy rule. You got six innings pitched. You got 12 Ks from three pitchers. And then I look at the quality of bats. Mr. Reliable Tanner Vaihu, who I'm told is the best catcher in the league, has four quality at bats. And then you get three out of Jason Bartlett and three out of Ethan Porter as well. There's a lot to be happy about here after that first exhibition game, huh, Coach?
Absolutely. It's funny. I told the boys today again, I reminded them again in practice, I'm not a huge fan of batting averages. I go up to the plate and I hit the ball real hard and the shortstop makes a heck of a play on me. And I feel badly because I didn't get a hit. But as a hitter, my job is to hit the ball hard, not to get a hit. I try to to preach that to my kids. And just we actually track quality at bats. That's my stat. That's the one that I think is the most important. And, you know, you mentioned these kids having quality at bats. They hit the ball hard. That's what matters. Yeah, I'll take a kid who's hitting 200 who's got 10 hard hit balls, because eventually one's going to drop. One's going to find some grass somewhere. And it's funny you mentioned Matt LeBlanc. You mentioned Bobby Porter. Sorry, Ethan Porter. I call him Bobby since sixth grade. Those are kids that are going to be huge. Zephyr and Leppin, and those are three kids that are going to be huge for my success this year. I know what I'm getting with Jason Bartlett. I know what I'm getting with Chris Kelly, Tanner Vayu. Those other boys are, they're question marks, but they're quality. They're awesome question marks. You know, they're killing the baseball right now. They're doing all the things I need them to do. They're working hard, and they go up to the plate with a great approach. They want to get a pitch they can drive, and they keep their hands inside the ball, and they attack it. So as a coach, two games in, two scrimmages in, I couldn't be more pleased with their work. So
no doubt, 15-0 over Searsport. You go home, you go to bed, you wake up, you come back the next morning. You see your JV team go out and win 8-4, I believe. Then the varsity gets back out there, scores another 16 runs in that ball game. So these bats stay alive. I'm looking at the stat sheet from the second game. Eamon Gesinski did slow down. Three more hits, four RBIs. This guy's off to a red-hot start. Ethan Porter, another two RBIs. You mentioned Chris Kelly hit one out of the ballpark. That must have got the Belfast faithful on their feet.
Absolutely.
You look at young Curtis Littlefield. When I walked up on Friday, Curtis has a nice sacrifice fly, drives a man in for an RBI.
Yep.
Then he comes back on Saturday and has two hits against MDI. Talk about young Curtis Littlefield real quick, Coach.
Oh, man, he swings a really nice bat. He's, like I said earlier, he's going to swing for us. He's going to pitch probably more at the JV level, but his bat is varsity ready. He seems to again, attack balls that you make mistakes on, and he doesn't chase, which is something you know, freshmen, you usually get a kid who's a freshman on the varsity team who's going to chase. He's going to try to hit everything out of the park. This kid stays within himself. He's got a real pretty swing, left-handed. Does a really nice job for a young boy of staying back, keeping the ball up the middle if it's pitched away. And just again, really quick to the ball. He's been awesome. He's had a little arm issue where his arm's feeling a little sore, so he hasn't thrown as much off the mound as we want. We had a nice bullpen session today again with Coach Ross. And then I tried to get him out a bunch today, and I don't think I got him out once. He hit the ball real well, so he's got a nice live bat. Looking forward to 4 years of seeing him hit the ball.
No doubt he was our most improved player for the JVs in football this past fall. I had him in the on the basketball court this winter, got some good quality work in with him there. Now here he is off to a hot start playing varsity baseball. You know, the year that he's putting in as a freshman, I think back to when I was a freshman, I wasn't having this much success early on. This is going to serve him well down the road. No doubt, Coach.
Definitely.
We talked about quality at bats earlier. It looks like you had some quality innings pitched in the second game. I'm looking at the stat sheet. I see Jason Bartlett goes out, pitches three innings, fans seven batters. Then you bring in Tommy Walker in three innings. He has another three Ks. Not only are your pitchers going out there and pitching, but they're striking batters out. Talk about Bartlett and Walker in game two.
It's funny. I talk about strikeouts being fascist. This is a line from a movie, but Jason, I thought, controlled his innings really well. He looked like he was in command. He was trying things. There were times where he did some things in the preseason that I probably wouldn't be so excited about in the regular season, throwing some curveballs in situations where he probably doesn't need to throw some curveballs. But again, he was just trying to get his work in, and that sort of speaks to Jason. He's a senior. He's been around baseball. He's got baseball coach for a dad. He knows what to do, when to do it. And he he was trying things. I'd love to have him be more efficient going forward. And I'm sure part of it was, again, trying things. I'd be just as happy as if he had two strikeouts and, you know, five ground balls early in the count so he could pitch into the sixth and the seventh. But again, like I said, he controlled the game. He looked really nice. He looked really good on the mound. Didn't seem phased at all. He gave up a double to lead off the game and just worked out of it and got a ground ball to short, got two strikeouts. And then, you know, from then he was great. Chris pitched in the middle and Chris didn't have it that day. And my plan was to have Chris pitch three and Jason pitch four, or Jason pitch four and Chris three, and maybe three and three and Tommy throwing one, but Chris didn't have it. And he pitched, actually he didn't get an out, and that was a little concerning. But to then call Tommy in and have Tommy just pump he literally just threw fastballs and he pumped into the zone. He pitched to the X's. He went up, he went down, he went in, he went out. And like you said, he had several strikeouts and he controlled the game again in the same way that Jason was controlling the game. And as a coach, to know that, I think Tommy's probably fourth in my rotation, to know that my number four pitcher can come in and just pound the strike zone is everything you want as a coach. You know, there's no extra pitches. There's no wasted this. There's no, I'm not walking kids. I think he struck out, like you said, three, but he also just pitched to contact and our defense made a heck of a lot of great plays for him. And I think my infield defense is fantastic, whether it's Jason on the mound, Tommy on the mound. I've got Amy Gazinski at second, Jason or Tommy playing short, Matt LeBlanc at third, and Chris Kelly is just one heck of a first baseman. And then you said Tanner Vayu, best catcher in the league. I know I think that. I don't know how I'm not sure how I'll ever replace the kid. But those five kids behind him, behind playing the infield for us, just makes it an easy job for me. And knowing that these kids are going to come in and pound the zone. So it's been, you know, we've had six pitchers come out and throw, and for the most part, all five of them have done really, really well. And while Chris struggled, he looked great in the bullpen today. So he's got great stuff and I'm not worried about him. You know, he missed a little north and south, up and down. And I'd rather have that than missing east and missing the plate. Sorry about my dog. But Chris missed north and south, which I can live with because he's just, I didn't see him bending his back quite where I'd like him to. But, you know, with these kids, the way they are, it really is a coach's dream with this group. So
no doubt, you know, dependability, reliability, those words come to mind when you're talking about Tanner. We talked about the quality of bats he gets you as a batter. We talk about the calming presence behind the plate with these pitchers, pitch counts and pitches and just knowing what to call, when to call it. And he deserves a lot of credit for these very good pitching outings that you've had so far, no doubt about it. Back to Bartlett real quick. What I like about Bartlett, very, very patient at the plate. I saw the stat sheet both games. He had two drawn walks. A drawn walk to me is like a base hit single. With all these bats behind you, just get on base and they'll drive you home with the way your boys are hitting right now. So really good to see. You said batting average was a little overrated. I've heard a lot of coaches say the on-base percentage is what really matters. And it seems like Bartlett's off to a heck of a start.
Yeah, he's a great kid at the plate. He's left-handed, so it doesn't really play that great to our park. Got to hit it a ton to get it out in right field. So I think his home run numbers will be down. He won't hit as many as say Chris or even Eamon. I don't know. But he's, I mean, I stick him at three in the lineup and I know what I'm going to get from him. You said I'm going to get quality at bats. He's going to get on base. The kid just knows baseball. He knows he does literally everything you want a kid to do. Throw him outside, he'll hit the ball the opposite field. I said it to Kevin Coombs today in school that I think he's going great. Jason's going great when he's hitting the ball to the left side of the infield. When he's hitting it over the shortstop's head, I feel like he's locked in. And although the other day against MDI, I saw him turn on a ball that I haven't seen him turn on. It was two strikes, and it was up and in. And the kid challenged Jason, and Jason got the bat head out, got his hands through the zone, and he pulled it foul. But, that's not something I'm used to seeing, is him turning on the ball real well. But he clobbered this ball down the right field line. So it's been great. I mean, he knows what to do, and he's quiet about it. He just puts his head down and works. Practice, he's fantastic. If I could have nine Jason Bartletts, just kids working that way, I'd have a heck of a team. So unfortunately, I only get one of them. So
no doubt. I know you're strapped on time tonight, Coach. You got to leave us a little early. We've talked about a number of your players. I just want to bring up some other players that you have on your roster. If you give us just a quick thought or two on them, that would be great. Let's start with Chase Sanders.
Chase is coming back to baseball from a couple years away. He's kind of an unknown. Coach Ross says left-handed pitchers are a gift from God, and Chase is he's a left-handed pitcher. He throws strikes, pitched real well against Searsport, just pounded the zone. His swing is coming along. He plays a nice first base, really good defensively. So, when Chris pitches Chase, I have no problem sticking him at first base. Just a good quality teammate kind of a guy. He's fun to have on the team. Kids love him. And he's real good with energy, so he's been great to have. So,
no doubt. How about Sawyer Carson?
Sawyer's a kid that he loves baseball, and I had him in sixth grade in homeroom, and it was clear that he just loved baseball. He, again, same kind of deal. He just loves being out there. He's going to fill in roles when he can. He'll play infield. He'll play in the outfield. He's the kid that says, where do you want me, coach? And you tell him to go to, right field. He's got no qualms. Just go out there and play. Got a nice little swing. When he hits the ball, he hits it a ton. So he's kind of another kind of a wild card. So,
no doubt. Elias Howard.
Elias, he's going to swing, and I was kind of worried about him at the varsity level. Like, is he going to be able to hit fastballs? And he tattooed fastballs, and he made a heck of a great play. And he's one of those kids that doesn't do anything amazingly great, but he does everything well. And he's fundamentally sound, and he makes plays, and he's got nice hands. He's got a nice quick bat, and he moves well. And he just, again, you tell him to do something, you show him something, and he does it, and he does it right, and he does it again. And so he's just what you want as a player. So,
absolutely. How about Ethan Porter?
Bobby. So I had him in sixth grade. I had two Ethans in homeroom, and I called him Bobby, and I can't call him Ethan. It's hard to do. He is one of the hardest working kids I've had. He's struggled. He didn't make varsity as a sophomore with this talented group of kids, and he would have made varsity as a junior. And he just goes out and he works. He's got a nice quick bat, plays a nice left field. He's got a nice strong arm, fundamentally does everything you ask him to do. And again, just an awesome kid to have on a team. So
no doubt, Coach. How about Keegan McGowan?
Keegan is a freak athlete. I don't know what position Keegan plays yet, but I know that he attacks the baseball at the plate, and he hits the ball really hard. I think he's going to help in the infield and the outfield, throws well off the mound. He threw in a JV game against MDI, and he looked really good on the mound. So, I think Keegan's got a real bright future for the club. So,
no doubt. Last but not least, Zephyrin Lepinen.
The kid flies. He has wheels for days. Plays a real nice outfield, left-handed. I'm gonna teach him how to bunt real well, so he can just drop one down and be at first base, and then he's gonna steal bases. I'm glad he's on my team, because he is a nuisance. in that way, in a good way. He's that kid who's just a pain in the butt on the base pass because he's so quick. He's going to get the green light. I shouldn't have said that out loud because some coach might be listening, but the kid's going to be able to steal when he wants to steal. And I'm not sure he knows how to slide or that he needs to know how to slide because he's that fast. So
wow.
But
yeah, I'm impressed with Lepinen as well. We found a spot for him on the football team with that powerful left leg. He was driving through PATs. We even sent him out for a 35-yarder. He crushed that with distance and height.
Yeah.
And I had him on the basketball court this winter. He was our most improved player. That improvement for me was improvement that I saw over the last year of his life.
Yep.
And now here he is starting off with you at the on the baseball team, off to a strong start as well. Really good to see. Really looking forward to seeing his senior year. I think he's going to blow up even more so than he already has. We could just keep him focused and his eye on the prize. He's going to be a special player for you, Coach.
I think that's right. It's middle school. You get that relationship with him, and he's matured a ton in a year from what I saw from watching him in Legion 2 years ago, JV 2 years ago. Just watching him grow up, it's been pretty awesome. And he's a pretty mature boy now. And you said it, he's got his eye on the prize. I hope we can keep it. But I think the kid's going to help us in the future. He's going to help us this year, but he's definitely going to help us as a senior. So,
no doubt. So off to a 2-0 start. Here we are in a new week. What's on tap for the Lions this week, Coach?
Thursday, we play John Baps at our place. And Saturday, we're going to have a doubleheader against PVHS. That's subject to change. I'm not sure that's 100% set in stone. We might actually go with our JVs in the second game just based on some results. But I'm just looking to get everybody more swings, more reps, more ground balls, more fly balls, more live balls off the, you know, the chance to see another curveball, or my curveball is not quite what it used to be. So more reps, basically.
No doubt, Coach. I know you got to run a little bit early tonight. I enjoyed the conversation. I learned a lot about your club. I know a lot of these guys over the last 3 years of being here as a coach of three sports now. So I have a vested interest in wanting to see these guys do well. As I said, I played for George Ross 30 years ago, 4 years for the Belfast Lions. So anytime I walk up to that baseball field, I literally get chills down my forearms. Because as you said, it just brings back unforgettable memories that are literally going to stay with you for the rest of your life. You can attest to that.
Absolutely. I certainly can.
I'd love to get you back on the show, maybe for a mid-season report. And by the sounds of it, your club has a chance to go deep in the playoffs this year. So at some point down the road, I want to get you back on here. We'll get that mid-season report. And then we'll either do a wrap-up show at the end of the year, kind of bring it all together and talk about your successes, because you're off to a great start. It looks like you got one heck of a team this year, Coach.
Sounds good to me. I hope so. From your lips to God's ears, or whatever that expression is. I hope you're right.
Yes, sir, Coach. Well, again, I appreciate it. I wish you continued success. You're off to a hard start. And there were 200 fans up there at the game the other day. Brian Goff's one of your biggest. So I'll be watching you all year long, Coach.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You have a good night. This is WBFY 100.9 Local FM. We're going to take a quick station break, just finishing up with the head baseball coach for your Belfast Lions, Coach LaValle. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Debbie from Belfast, and you are tuned to WBFY Belfast 100.9 FM.
Support for Belfast Community Radio comes from our listeners and from Delvino's, serving Italian fare and cocktails on Main Street in downtown Belfast. Call 338-4565.
You're listening to WBFY, 100.9 FM, Belfast Community Radio. We are radio by and for our friends and neighbors. Find us online at BelfastCommunityRadio.org, on Facebook, or call 338-2277.
To help slow the spread of COVID-19, the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommend that people wear cloth face coverings in public settings, especially when other physical distancing measures are difficult to maintain.
Physical distance means 6 feet apart, about two arm lengths from other people who are not from your household. You are required to wear face mask coverings in public places where physical distance is difficult to maintain, as recommended by CDC.
The current state guidelines in place are designed to keep you and our frontline employees safe and us in business. Please be kind as we do our best to adapt and serve you.
Together, with your help, we can keep Belfast a safe location to visit, shop, eat, and spend time with your family.
You just heard the word from Belfast Mayor Eric Sanders, Belfast Public Health Nurse Susan Dupler, also Corey Chase, the owner of Darby's, and Ryan Otis of Rowley's. We at WBFY would also like to encourage you to do the considerate thing and wear a mask.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Belfast Lions Sports Show. This is head coach Brian Goff, just finishing up with the head baseball coach for your Belfast Lions coach, Chris LaValle. We had a nice conversation previewing the 2021 Belfast Lion baseball team. If you're joining the show late, the Belfast Lion team is off to a hot start. Two exhibition games so far, one on Friday versus Searsport. Game two was MDI on Saturday. Both games, they scored more than 15 runs. The bats are red hot early on. That's good to see. The arms are alive and well. Lots of strikeouts. They've given up four runs in two games. Add it all up. It's two dominating wins in dominating fashion with a number of young men contributing. Any team, the more people you have making contributions, the better you are. Can't just be about one or two or three guys. You know, the more guys you got that can do something, the more guys you can bring in off the bench. Unfortunately, injuries do happen. Knock on wood, none of those happen with the Belfast Lions this year. But there's going to be some situations where you got to count on that bench. And looking at that roster, going over it with Coach LaValle, looks like he's got 13 solid guys on his roster. Talking to him prior to the show, they're going to toy around and bring some guys up. They're going to bring some guys down. You know, you got to be able to produce. They're looking at these JV games. For any of you young baseball players that are playing for the Belfast Lions, okay, this goes for typically any sport. You know, when I'm the head football coach and I'm looking at the JV games, I'm watching to see who's out there producing, who's out there playing, who can I call up to help us at the varsity level. Same thing with basketball this past winter. There's a guy doing something on the JV team. You know, Coach Marty was looking. He's getting reports from me on a daily basis. Next thing you know, you got two, three, four, five guys being called up at the end of the year and also getting minutes at the end of the year as well, which are invaluable for a young athlete, no matter what sport you're going to play. Looks like a senior-laden team. We talked about every guy in some regard throughout the course of the show. For me, it always starts with the seniors. You know, no matter what sport you're playing, you've got a number of three sports stars on here, on this team. Chris Kelly's as fine an athlete as you're going to find. Had we had football this year, he was going to tear our league up. He's a great basketball player, nearly scored 1,000 points, would have done so if COVID didn't come. Now here he is hitting a home run in the second game and starting at first base, and also giving Coach LaValle an arm on the mound. Chase Sanders, another tall guy, lefty it sounds like. He's going to make a contribution on the pitching mound. He played soccer. He played basketball. Tommy Walker's a heck of a golfer, heck of a basketball player. Here he is doing good things on the diamond. Mr. Reliable, Tanner Bayhew. He's all world and everything. He's a human Swiss Army knife when it comes to football. I could play him in almost any position. There he is at the hardwood in basketball, doing his thing as a starting guard and playing tough defense. And as we said during the show, probably the best catcher in the league and just someone that you can't replace. Zora Carson, one heck of a swimmer. I think he's going to go to the Naval Academy. Here he is playing baseball. Just a good, solid, hardworking kid. I hope he has success this year. Matt LeBlanc, good to see Matt LeBlanc have three hits the other day. he had a tough year, had a freak accident, broke the ankle, didn't get to play football with us his junior year. Would have started at tight end this year for us. Had a heck of a 7-on-7 league. Was doing great in intramurals. Played basketball, earned some minutes. Came to practice, brought his lunch pail, went to work, put his hard hat on, and worked and did some good things and got some playing time. And here he is off to a hot start on the baseball team, getting 3 hits in that first game. That was good to see. Jason Bartlett is fine as athlete as you'll have at the school. Arguably the best athlete in the school. Joined the soccer team this past fall. Hadn't played and just was a natural fit just from a pure athletic standpoint. Had he put the blue and gold on and the blue helmet on, had we had real football this year, I have no doubt in my mind he would have went out there on the football field and started for us in some position. Should have had 1,000 points in basketball. As far as I'm concerned, he did. The only reason he didn't is because COVID came. Shortened season. He would have got there with games to play. So, you know, just an outstanding, made the McDonald's all-star game in basketball. And then here he is. And some folks are saying baseball might be his best sport. I believe he's going on to Thomas College in Waterville. He could be a baseball player there. So as good as he was at soccer, as good as he could have been at football, as great as he was at basketball, some are saying this guy, his best sport might be baseball. He's going to the next level to play. So it's going to be good to see him finish his career for the Lions. Eamon Gasinski, I love that kid. Got a little bit of playing time in basketball. When he did get on the court, he produced. I remember he drained a 3 from NBA range with nothing but net when we put him in there. And here he is starting for the baseball team. He hits one out of the ballpark in game 1, comes back in game 2 and has 3 hits. So that's great for Eamon. Great kid. I wish him success. Sounds like Elias Howard, Ethan Porter are off to a good start, making solid contributions. Good to see. Young Curtis Littlefield, we talked about him during the show. 3-sport athlete, had success in football, had success in basketball. Here he is off to a hot start in baseball, which I have heard this could arguably be his best sport, which is kind of scary because he did darn good in football and basketball as well. Keegan McGowan, starting quarterback for the basketball team, football team. He was our MVP of the fall league this year, led our team in interceptions and was throwing dimes and touchdowns as the starting quarterback. He'll get back on track with basketball next year, I'm sure. And as Coach LaValle said, he is a very versatile player at the varsity level where he can kind of pick and choose where he needs to play. That's good to see. And then Zephyrin Lepinen, we talked about him. I've been a fan of Zephyrin ever since I've met him. I thought he got a bad rap a little bit. You know, we've kind of bonded, if you will. I asked him if he wanted to work with me. I'd be willing to work with him. He said yes. And he has a chance to be a four-sport star at Belfast next year with soccer, football, basketball, and baseball. They didn't let me do it when I was a student 30 years ago. I petitioned to be on the track team. They wouldn't let me. They told me I had to pick one. So I picked baseball. Rules have changed. They let you do more than one. So he's going to be the starting kicker for the football team. And he's going to be the starting whatever they want him to be in soccer. So he's going to have a great fall. He'll be a varsity basketball player next year, and he'll build on his early successes going into next year on the baseball team. So I always got my eyes on Zephyrin. He's just a fun kid to watch, and a lot of these kids are. I've been back in Belfast now. Coming up on 3 full years. I was the volunteer assistant in 18, the head football coach in 19. Was a head football coach this past fall in 2020. I'm coming back for year 4 in 2021. I'm fired up. I can't wait to get back out there and do what I love to do. But a lot of these guys that are on this baseball team are guys that I've been with in some way, shape, or form for the last 2 or 3 years. And it's going to be a day of celebration once these young men graduate
but it'll also be a sad day as well, because, you know, you just associate a lot of these players with these sports that we love to come and watch. You know, when I go to a basketball game next year, it's not going to be the same without seeing Bartlett and Kelly and Tanner and Tommy and some of these guys that have been there for a long time. Same thing on the baseball diamond. Same thing with football. Mr. Reliable, Tanner Vayhew, number three, has been would have been a 4-year starter had we had football this year, but they took it away from us because of COVID. Same with Kelly. You know, these guys were out there playing as freshmen, doing well. Well, what do you think they're going to do as seniors? You know, with all this training, they're bigger and stronger than they've ever been, more experienced. So I don't want to get into what we lost. I want to get into what we have. And like I said, walking up there on Friday, I'm helping out with the track team this year. It's been a lot of fun. I'm working with the throwers. I'm working with Coach Rick Kelly. I'm working with Coach Dale Neely. And just to be part of a team and get these guys bigger, stronger, faster, and help the guys and gals, you know, reach their goals, I'm all in. I am volunteering my time. For me, it's never been about the money. It never will be. I'm doing it because I love sports. I love Belfast High School. I played here. It means something to me. And I want to see our young athletes, boys and girls, have the most success as they possibly can have. So one day, 30 years down the road, like I am, you still have those unforgettable memories that are going to stay with you the rest of your life. Last thing I want to say before I leave you tonight, folks, to those 200 plus people that showed up to the baseball game on not only Friday, but Saturday, a tip of the hat to you, a standing ovation. Your support during a pandemic, and even when the pandemic wasn't around, your support is unmatched. In 2019, when we went down to play a football game at Oceanside, which is Rockland, Maine, you know, there were more Belfast fans there than Oceanside fans were. You know, you came in droves. You supported us. You were loud. You were a big part of us winning that football game that night by 1 point, no doubt. And, you know, they didn't let fans into any of the games this year because of COVID with basketball. Didn't mean you guys weren't sitting at home watching the game on YouTube, having a little party at your house, cooking food, spending it with loved ones and cheering on the Belfast faithful. But just to see those fans there, because even with football, with 7-on-7 this year, very little people were allowed in. You know, they might have let some parents in on parent night. They had you spread out, but it you were there. It just wasn't the same. We were glad you were there. We were glad we were playing 7-on-7. But we much rather would have had real football and those stands packed with student body, faculty, admins, parents, friends, and the Belfast faithful. Walking up there on Friday was the first sight of that in over a year of you folks coming out and supporting the Belfast Lions. And quite frankly, when I came up over that little footbridge and walked up around the corner and started heading towards the dugout, I looked up at that hill over by the concession area, and I saw 200 of you standing there being loud, supporting, you know, cheering on the guys. It was just a really, really super cool thing to see. So a thank you from me, a thank you from the baseball team. You heard Coach Laval say it earlier. There were more fans there for an exhibition game than there were for some playoff games. So a tip of the hat to you. Please keep coming. I hope this Belfast Lions Sports Show brings you more information about Belfast area sports, gets you fired up, wants you to come out and support. That's part of the reason why we do it, and to inform all you people about all the great things going on here in Belfast, Maine, not only at the high school level, but in our community as well. Have a great night, everybody. This is Coach Brian Goff, head football coach for your Belfast Lions. We'll see you next week. Y'all have a great night, and thank you so much for tuning in. Good night.